Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
This is your host, Hatch, with my boy.
The other host, Tio. I am here.
He up in this piece.
I'm up in here.
Well, hey, we got L.A. in L.A. today, though.
Hey, we couldn't have it any other way. It's nice out here. It's sunny. Y'all got my shades on, yes, as always. Hey, L.A.
You know what? I got my shades
right?
on.
L.A. L.A.
In L.A. L.A. in L.A. LeVar Arrington is in the building.
It doesn't get any better than that. Am I on camera?
You always on camera.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm so happy to be on camera with these guys, man. This is quite an honor.
Hey, man, thank you, brother.
I appreciate a couple offensive guys bringing me in and welcoming me into your place, your safe place. So
yeah, we're going
to
abuse
you. I think this is the closest I've ever been to you, because when we played, I wasn't really trying to be in this,
city.
So, no. Hey, man.
LA's on that side.
It was a few guys when I played, you know, linebacker-wise. I'm like, I'm not really trying to hover off and go into that territory.
I dang near knocked my shoulder off trying to knock him down. So I don't buy all of that. That's always, you know, that's for the camera. But it's cool to be, you know, like, together, because we were the same era. Yeah. So things change once you retire. Like, I always say you become, you know, civilians. Like,
yeah,
we become civilians. Yeah. It's like we went to the chamber, you know, like Superman did, and do you want to become a person so you could be with the girl? So we're people now, know what I mean? And it's like when you're playing, you know, you look at each other differently. Like, I'm looking at y'all like, I can't wait to see y'all.
I appreciate that.
Now that we're retired, now it's like, I really, you know, I can't wait to see y'all. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
It's always good and it's refreshing.
Yeah, yeah.
Refreshing to kind of catch up. And like I said, I haven't seen you in a while. I see you on TV every night. You make some cameos.
I was raising a lot of hell for you too, by the way. I still can't believe that you weren't a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I made a stink
of it every opportunity I get. I mean, fair is fair. And that's like, you know, from our era, you know, to be able to say that you played with somebody that was great, you can't take that lightly. You know what I mean?
Like,
I've been on a crusade for a couple dudes. Fred Taylor's on my list now. I can't stop on that one. Can't believe that he's not in yet.
Right,
you know what I mean? But it's a certain thing. It is what it is. I just hope the guys that are supposed to get in, you know, eventually get in.
So, absolutely. Yeah, well, again, talking about your career as well.
Yeah, greatness. Talking about greatness.
Again, right, Pro Bowl, All Pro, all those things. Your shortened career, if you will, was that an aspiration of being in the Hall as well, even though it was a short career?
I mean, I was on a Hall of Fame trajectory throughout my career.
Right.
I mean, if you think about it, high school, I was parade player of the year.
Right.
You know, top five, depending on what, you know,
what list
publication. You know, I'm top number one in some. You know, Gatorade Circle player of the year. Like, I'm one of the most decorated dudes that people don't even know about.
Right.
And I was an offensive guy.
That's right, you know, running back.
I played tailback in high school. So,
So you had some scoots?
But that's how I played defense.
Right.
Downhill.
Right. You know what I mean? Well, the thing about it is I always say if you wanna identify a dope football player, see what they play on the other side of the ball. Mm. Right? So wow. if you're a receiver, I wanna know were you a cornerback? Were you a safety? Yeah. You know, how did they play on that side? Because your understanding of it kind of translates. So for me, when I was really good at running back, but I always wanted to play linebacker because I'm from Pittsburgh. So my whole aspiration was to go to college and play linebacker. And the whole idea of it was I played linebacker like a tailback. So when they're running the ball, I'm tracking the ball just like a tailback. I'm feeling how they're flowing. I know it's going to be a cutback. Right. I'm going to end up in that cutback lane because I'm
You're already knowing what a running back is naturally seeing.
Because I'm running it.
Right.
Yeah. I'm running it just like he running it. Like, this is too much fast flow. Mm. He's got to cut it back. He's got to come back. Or just kind of run it up in there or go out of bounds, but that ain't my play to make.
Right.
So I'm going to anticipate it, and I'm going to see where you at that mesh point, you know, where that cutback lane is. But, that, you know, for me, back to the original question, I always felt like I was going to be a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. I don't think that you ever look at it any differently. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm coming in this joint. Like, you could be a number one overall pick. You could be undrafted. The cool thing about the game we play is we all have an opportunity to carve out what it's going to be. Mm.
Right.
And so for me, I always felt like, you know, I was on the way.
Right.
You know, just so many different elements. You know, changing the coaches. Like, at one point, I had more head coaches than I did years in the league.
Mm. Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I had two coaches my rookie year. So they fired him They fired him after the Texas game, the Dallas game. Fired him. Boom. So then we have Terry Rubisky come in over North. So that was two coaches. Then you go into Marty. They didn't like Marty because Marty was too, like, you know, do it my way. And so they go away from Marty. Then they bring in Coach Spurrier. And then now that's the opposite of Marty. That's like,
you go
from locked up jail to like, hey,
all in
do
water.
What you want. Right. So
to a country club.
It was just a lot. It was a lot to navigate. I mean, that was a fun year. We played y'all in Osaka that one year.
Yeah, yeah, in Japan.
I'll tell you, it was fun. If we had more professionals on our roster with Steve Spurrier, that might have been my run for the Hall. Wow. I might have put down, you know, some. I might have got
and
close to being a guy.
You say professionals, you meaning like veteran?
You know
guy.
What I mean, like. Not going to strip clubs or going out to the spots the night before
acting
the game.
As professional.
Acting being as
right,
professional.
Right, right,
because
right.
He wasn't babysitting us.
Oh, I'm here for this.
He wasn't,
popcorn.
Yeah, he wasn't. Yeah. He wasn't babysitting us. Right,
so right. Tell people about like how big of a deal that locker room is when it comes to, you know, being a successful team. Because people don't understand that.
That's the component to a successful team.
Come on.
Like you for anybody who thinks that it's the coaches, it's surface level. Unless you have a locker room that has the ownership and takes on the onus of being what they're supposed to be, you'll never win. Mm, it doesn't matter how much talent you have. If the guys in that locker room aren't, first of all, if they don't love each other.
Right, yep.
Like, if it's too many clicks, I've seen clicked out teams that it doesn't work.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
Because when it gets tough, it's like, I fool with him. That's my
but
boy.
I
don't fool with him, right? And it's kind of like, he's gone. It's the love first, and then it's the accountability. Because if you develop the accountability as a locker room, then that's when the mindset of I'm gonna challenge you to get better. You're gonna challenge me to get better. We're gonna challenge each other to get better. We're gonna hold each other to that level, and it just, you know, a lot of times. You don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see it. Or it ain't enough. You know, the guys that are like that actually become alienated to what the majority is into. So.
And it's definitely hard to have that with a bunch of head coaches.
Because it's I always call it a roulette game, right? keep putting bullets in. Every time you change a coach, put a bullet in. Man, you know what I mean? Like,
okay. Start over.
Eventually, you change so many head coaches, the whole thing is filled up. You mm-hmm. spend it all you want, it doesn't matter. You're going, it's going to discharge
because right.
you got all the bullets in there. So, but every time you change coaching staffs, you now go into it's something new. They want to come in. They want to win with their guys. They want to do it the way they want to do it. So the further you get removed from the people, and even if you lose a GM, the further you get removed from that, the more you're going to deal with the complications connected to the mm-hmm. changes that take place. So
I agree. Again, so you were the number two pick in 2000 NFL mm-hmm. draft,
yeah.
right? Again, two-time All-Pro, mm-hmm. three-time Pro Bowler. Like, anybody else is saying, okay, he's on his way to playing 12, 15 years and having a Hall of Fame career. So mm-hmm. what happened that the end of your career did not happen the way you wanted to?
Yeah, because I think what I'm hearing, and me, like I said, just to do a little research and just hear you talk about where you were coming out of high school, college
right.
You know, for me personally, like I said, you know, I remember, you know, one of the most iconic plays, you know, I think
college football history.
You know, I'm seeing, you know,
at 11 this, jump this, over
exactly in all white. You know what I mean? And listening that you talk before we segue into the other stuff, just listening that you talk about how running back helped you play the position of linebacker. Mm-hmm. You know, instinctively you knew kind of like what was happening before it was going to happen. Mm-hmm. And then listening at all these accolades, understanding like, yo. For me, I didn't know about the Hall of Fame when I got into the National Football League. I was oblivious. I had no idea what that was.
And y'all the ones that always make it.
That's y'all, what I said. I'm mad at him for that.
Y'all the ones that
like,
always make it.
Like, that was my goal.
Right, and it was a struggle for me to get in, you know, considering, you know it was other than that. But I'm listening at, and you talk about me and you stood on the table for me about my greatness.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, you were great in high school, mm-hmm. college,
mm-hmm.
and then you
and the first 4 years in NFL.
Right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We haven't gotten to the pros yet, and you had that mentality that an understanding that, okay, my greatness from high school, college, it can only get better because you were getting bigger, you were getting faster.
Yeah.
The knowledge
should translate
in the game.
Yeah, it should translate.
So you saw yourself where I am, like in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Obviously, things that there's a lot of variables that mm-hmm. happen, like the coaches, the injuries, things of that nature that took place.
Mm-hmm.
Are you satisfied? You know, are you at peace with where you are, considering, and that's what he was just questioning,
mm-hmm.
where you are, what happened, you know, as to where you are now. Versus
the trajectory that you were on.
The ceremony every year when they announce them, it bothers me.
Wow.
It bothers because I'm better than a lot of dudes that have gone in.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? Because it panned out. It showed up when it needed to for the pros for them to make it in.
Right.
You know what I mean? So not to take anything away from somebody who is good enough to get the call.
Right.
But I'm just saying. If we measuring it out,
you
put my film up against some of these guys. But again, you guys talk about it in shows past where longevity is the key. Mm-hmm. I always say mm-hmm. I'm not going to blame anything, you know, about my career on somebody else or anything else. Longevity is the key, and I just wasn't great for long enough. Is right. what I'll
so
say.
Time ran out.
I mean, you were with me my last play. That was my last play. I was with the Giants,
really?
And I blew my Achilles tendon out. I was like, T.O., if you don't get out, I'm smelling the hot dogs. I knew it was my last play.
Really?
And you came over and you're like, are you all right? I like everything was a blur because it was moving so fast. But I knew that was my last play.
Wow.
Like I knew I would not play football ever again. So,
from the pain or from just the feeling?
I had already dealt with, I kept splitting my cartilage.
Mm-hmm.
I never had a serious injury up until I blew my Achilles tendon against Dallas in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
But up until then, I was so explosive
mm-hmm.
and I was at 255 in the league playing linebacker. I'm 6'3", 255,
and I was running like, just so y'all know,
I was running fast, so I kept splitting my cartilage, and I got, I was like, man, I'm just so tired of getting my knees cleaned up, and then I try to lose weight, and it's like, man, I'm broad, it's like, I don't have the, it's probably honest and fair to say, I didn't have the work ethic in me once I got married.
Really?
I kind of lost the
you
dog.
You were satisfied, you thought? You were satisfied?
I found what happy was outside of football.
For the first time?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I was like all fours. Like, you know, I call myself the king of the mammals.
Down.
Bruh, I'm 20 down because I got my knuckles. I'm running on all fours, like tongue out, like, and then I met my chick. Yeah. And it was like,
I
domesticated.
Yeah, right, yeah, she got that leash.
I went from all fours to like I was Homo erectus, you know, Homo sapien, you know what I mean? Like I turned into a person.
Yeah.
And so now my off season is consisting of spending time getting to know somebody in that way. Mm-hmm. You know, in that way, like, so now it's more or less like, now I'm thinking about what's that like to have a wife and kids.
We
and,
need to get domesticated,
You know, that's always up for debate. You know what I mean? That's
another show.
Especially after you've been domesticated, it's always up for debate, man.
Now you know both sides.
Because sometimes you need your steak to be bloody. Instead of well done, you know what I mean? Sometimes you got to taste where you came from, you know what I mean?
Wow.
And so, but there was a lot to it. So for me, I wasn't doing probably the things that I needed to do maintenance-wise as I got a little bit later into my career, but I didn't, the sad thing about it is I didn't care. Mm. Like, I had went through so much S in D.C. that I just had gotten to the point where I just want my happy. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about if it was happy on the football field or winning a Super Bowl. It was just, it was so much confusion. And I've said it for years. So it's kind of, I got to be honest with you, I kind of feel vindicated with everything that's taking place in Washington right now because if people go back to the archives, I was saying it like, you guys are looking at me, and I don't want to be the one to sit there and say, I can't be successful because of this, because ultimately I control what I do. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if you're in an environment that's toxic, and you, I mean, I know you know better than anybody else, when it's a toxic environment, they come after us. Mm-hmm. They don't go after nobody else. Right, they come after the main focal point player, right? So it's like, all right, T.O.'s in the, and he's in the, like, he's acting out. He's not there. Mm-hmm. He's a, but you're not paying attention to the fact that this man is saying, look, I'm working. Mm-hmm. Like, are you paying attention to what I'm saying? I'm working.
Look at what I'm doing.
You're looking at
something else. You're trying to create another story that ain't even there.
And that's what always happens. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy because it was more prevalent in our day. Like now with social media and technology, it's really changed the entire landscape of how it all works because you can break your own stories. Right. You can be your own media person. Yeah. And I think that it's great when guys get into media. Like, that's my thing is media and content. But back then, you couldn't control the media.
Right, right. Yeah,
you know, so if they're creating a narrative that you're disruptive, you can't do this,
or
you
can't,
you got to take it. Mm-hmm. And if you come out and you say it, depending on what outlet you give it to,
then it's worse.
Yeah.
Now it's worse.
It's worse.
And that,
it
that
compounds.
And that everything. Became mm-hmm. my constant reality in Washington. Mm. And so I just got to the point, I just wanted to be happy. Mm-hmm. So when I met my eventual wife, it was like I could, it's crazy because the year I met her, that was where I split my cartilage and had to miss the season. Mm-hmm. But it was also a situation where my contract situation became a thing because Champ, which is a whole nother thing, but Champ was getting up out of Washington and they had to make moves to get under the cap. I helped them get under the cap in the waning moments of the deadline, because Champ wasn't going to do it. He was trying to get out. I do it, and there's a mistake in the contract, and now it becomes I messed up. Right?
Like, not the agent who did the contract.
Well, not even the agent. Like, think about it. There were going to be multiple. There were multiple mistakes made in the contract. But they certified it, and once they certified it, the mistake that was there with one of the bonuses that were missing, it took me from an amazing average of like 12 something a year to like 2 something. Like, it was it was like so drastic off of them missing.
That's beyond it was
here's the thing. It was one bonus that was missing that threw the whole average off. Right. It was a lot of money in that bonus. Yeah. And my whole thing is, I didn't want no issues anyway. Like, I just play. Like, I didn't ask for it. I said, I'll help. I didn't go to them, like, give me money. I just play ball. And from that moment on, it was more so about trying to diminish who I was. So that was when they brought in Joe Gibbs. They brought in CP because they got rid of Champ. So in that trade, they brought Clinton over. And, you know, but there were a lot of things that I was doing everything I possibly could do to restructure and redo things so that we could sign guys. Like,
You're trying to win.
We brought in Lavernius Coles 1 year. Chad Morton. We ended up bringing in Santana at one point. Like, and a lot of that stuff was based upon me restructuring. Like, I think I restructured like 2 or 3 times while I was in Washington.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Wow. So you do all these things behind the scenes, don't nobody ever know about it. Like, you don't talk about
no
it.
That's, it's too positive for people to know.
Bro, right. I did the same thing in San Fran. And that's what made, bro, that's why I had a bad taste at some point. And this is what fans don't
know. They don't know.
They don't know why I'm pissed off or I say the things that I've said. Like TMZ, you know, they approached me at the airport and they said something about San Fran. And I'm like, man, bump San Fran. Fans get mad, but they don't know. Yeah. They don't
the full,
know why.
The full what story.
I'm
going, right.
I did one of the same thing. I restructured. Just
to,
so
to let other people
yes, right, because I want to win
and sign the
win. But fans don't know these things; they're not privy to that information. That's why, like, yo, don't come in my DMs talking about me, this, that, and the other, when you don't even know half of the story.
Yeah,
and like I said, they're not gonna shed light on that. That's all right. He didn't have to do that.
I didn't have to.
You could
just ride it out.
Yeah,
right. Because that's your contract. Leverage. Because in the end, they'll tell you your contract's your contract. You can say the same thing to them. Like,
exactly.
But I want to win.
Right.
I want to win. So it's like, oh, we got Lavernius Cole available. Let's bring Lavernius in. Let's get trouble. And so for me, when it went the way that it went in terms of how the relationship soured, it was the first time I had ever experienced that type of adversity, probably what, disappointment, maybe, let down. Because every, like, high, it, from youth league on, from Coach Klinger to Coach Bellis to Coach Marino to Coach McCurry, Coach Nauman to even the dude that's locked up now from Penn State and Coach Paterno and Coach Bradley to that moment in time, I always had that. It, we might have not, like, me and Joe didn't really like each other.
Right.
Me and
Joe Paterno. But you could depend on him.
But we could depend on each other.
Right.
And there was a respect factor there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That wasn't there. And, it, like, you realize in the pros, because that money is involved, they will choose the money
over
the player every single time. Right? And so once you realize that, it's kind of like, now I'm putting my business hat on. Right?
You
now I'm putting my business hat on. So now it's not even about the true love of football in it anymore. Mm-hmm. It's how do I maneuver to put myself in a position where I'm getting done what I want to get done. So it's not about being a Hall of Famer anymore.
Right.
It's about self-preservation. It's it's about, you know, making moves. How do I get ahead? What relationships are out there for me before I'm done? That was why when I blew my Achilles tendon, I was like, I'm done.
No.
I'm not going to go through this rehab process that I'm going to have to go through
for
to
come
back
else
to
else
this.
For somebody else that I don't even want to be in a relationship with anyway.
To come back to this.
Right.
Wow. You know what I mean? So I was like, I was done. And I always felt good about moving on for the simple fact that I was always LeVar who played football. I was never just a football player.
Mm.
And I knew that that ruffled a lot of people's feathers. I knew that that was a problem to a lot of people, that I did not see myself as a number or a helmet. I saw I played football.
Right. It's not who I am.
You know, it's not what I do. I take the same approach that I did playing football, and I would have did it playing basketball. I would have did it being a media person, being a business person. It's just a matter of what I chose to place my beliefs and my efforts into.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, for me, that's why I'm happy with how my life is, more so now than it's ever been, because I exercise all of those lessons and the foundational components that I have in how I live my life. I don't deviate either.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, this is the process. And it's been proven well enough where it led to me, as we mentioned, being good at the high school level, being the best. I was the number one rated player coming out in college, you know, and being at one point in time at the top of my game in the pros. It always translated. So I don't change the process.
Mm-hmm.
I keep the same process. You just evolve.
Right.
It continues to evolve. And I do it for myself.
Right.
Like, I do it for my own inner circle. So I create my own opportunities. And that's what I really enjoyed that. I always say I won't make it as a Hall of Famer in the league, but I did get college Hall of Fame. I'm gonna go in this December.
Awesome. And congratulations,
I appreciate it.
Yeah,
and that's the one I'm okay with getting. I appreciate that one, just because if I could do it all over again, I would play college ball. And I would have stayed for that fourth year.
Right.
I wouldn't have left early.
Right.
I would not have been in a rush for this.
Right.
Knowing what I know now, I tell these young bucks all the time, don't be in a rush.
Mm.
Because here's the thing, the more you are in a rush, that says that you're valuing something less than what it, you know, like, if you put too much value on this, then once you get there and you've got it now, then that becomes, like, what your whole focus is.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you in that rush to get to that money, that becomes your whole focus.
The money's your focus, not the sport.
You know what I mean? Not what got you there.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if you taking it in year by year, and it's like I've enjoyed, like, I don't even really remember college all like that.
Mm.
I got a baby mama, don't even remember her all like that.
Mm.
Right? Love my baby, love having my baby, and that's one of my dudes. And I hope that one day he realizes his dream and is able to play in the National Football League. But don't even really remember college like that.
Right. That's crazy. I mean, especially for me, like I said, one of the most iconic plays in college football history, you know what I mean? And just listening at you talking about two words that stood out for me was evolving and translating.
Yeah.
You have kids now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Five.
And
four boys.
Two boys. Three girls.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. They're in the house. And what you've learned, what you've gone through, you talk about legacy, the evolve part.
Yeah.
Now you get to do that with your guys.
Yeah.
Your boys.
Yeah.
Mold them into that.
The translation, things that you've gone through, is that part of where you're at peace with and making you happy now?
You know what? I'd like to say I have perfected the art of teaching young people how to be great. Mm. I've perfected it. It continues to evolve right, within right. the perfecting of the process of it. But if a dude, like, you think about Sean Merriman, that's one of the first dudes I ever applied the process with.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Shout applied the process.
Shout out to Sean.
Right? Okay. That's my baby. Like, that's the first out the gate. Him and my little brother were together in high school playing basketball. I redid his high school football field. Me and Sean go back.
Wow.
Way back.
That's awesome.
But then it's like I start doing it, work with Navarro. Mm. You know, that was not by accident. That was by design that Navarro changed his number from 18 to 11 in college. Wow. We had to get through a couple rough patches in college and talk through things and rebrand. And it was like Apollo giving Rocky his shorts,
yeah,
right?
That
was the first time I gave my number away. That was the first time somebody at my position wore 11 at Penn State.
Wow.
So I started really, really, you start to realize being good, even being great as a football player is entertainment, but what makes you more is who you are. And it's so crazy because you'll see the most outgoing people, a Ocho, a T.O., right? Y'all get harassed for being how y'all were, being outspoken, having a mind of your own, branding yourself.
Yeah.
And now that we're in this evolved day and age.
Yeah. Well, you're supposed to brand yourself.
Now y'all in.
Yeah.
It's like y'all went through it.
Yeah, we were ahead
when it
of our
wasn't
time.
For somebody else to do it.
When it wasn't popular.
It wasn't popular.
That y'all were doing it.
Yeah.
And that's what I've always been. On the sneak.
Mm-hmm.
Not on like their level, not on y'all's level, but on the sneak. I always been that dude. And my latest creation is Odafe Owe and Micah Parsons.
Micah, animal.
Jesse Luketa is coming out. These are all dudes that we go through the process.
Wow, this is crazy. I didn't know this.
Yeah, we go through the process. Yeah.
I mean, because the names that he's mentioning, I'm like, I've heard of these names. I'm like, okay, I didn't know where they came from. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What, Micah Parsons wearing number 11.
Yeah.
Already for the Dallas Cowboys. Already.
Stick City is a place. It's not hook 'em horns. It's sticks.
Sticks. 11's and Stick
sticks.
City. Okay.
So you sticks like
man, this is man.
You know.
Man,
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing.
But this is great for people to hear.
This is
why you're here. This is why we have this platform.
Yeah.
Why we want to share.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, other people are not going to tell this story.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? They don't want to tell this story.
Mm-hmm.
Make it make sense. You know, it's almost like it's too much, like, too right.
Too positive. Mm-hmm. They want to tell the DUI story. They want to tell all that story. They don't want to tell the
positive. You know what I mean? But if it was Peyton Manning or somebody else or Brady doing this, they'd be doing specials.
Yeah.
It'd be specials. Well,
this is our special.
But again,
Stick City,
you take pride in, like you said, you're perfecting, you're putting products out there. Like I said, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Yeah.
But the world is about to know this.
Yeah, no doubt.
And that makes, bro, it makes me proud to know that somebody like you taking what your experiences
giving back
from high school to college, the pros. Dude, it's crazy. Sean Merriman was like your first project.
That's the first one.
And now it's kind of piecing things together.
Well, you watch how if you've ever paid attention to me, if you watch Sean is the most like me as a carbon copy.
That's what I'm saying.
If you watch his, the way he played, the way he handles himself and what he does off the field, I mean, he understands how to brand, the value of being, you know, in the know about what it is that you're doing, being kind to everyone that comes into your ecosystem. He's probably the carbon copy. And couldn't be more prouder of who he is as a man.
Yeah. That's crazy. All these proteges.
Yeah, well, and then Micah's just Neo. That's Neo. He's the one.
He's the one.
Like, I got some, like, Dafe is, I mean, he was putting on clinics in Baltimore. If Micah doesn't get MVP, defensive rookie, Dafe does. And so
I mean, they were talking about. It has to make you proud because at one point this dude was a bro
for the defensive player.
They were talking about him possibly being an MVP of the league. Yeah. At one point.
And outside of TJ deservingly so getting it, he breaks or ties the record. I mean, you can't not give somebody who ties the all-time sack record.
Right.
You can't get it.
Right.
Not get it. So, but for him to be in the conversation as a rookie.
Dude, that's crazy.
You know?
I mean, I didn't know much about him.
Yeah.
But now, like I said, it's interesting. This is great, man, what you're doing.
Thank you.
Not only just for these kids, just the community.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, it has to make you feel like a proud dad, you know, but obviously, like I said, this is some of your work that you're seeing out there on the football field.
I've been doing it, man. I do most things, all things media, but it's also everything that I do in media is really based upon maintaining the relevance of my voice.
Gotcha.
You know, if you don't maintain the relevance of your voice, I think they said on average, we got about 3 years before our voice diminishes to absolutely nothing.
Right.
And you got to just start from scratch. Yeah. Like, I am such and such that played for.
Yeah, nobody can.
It doesn't matter no more. Slowly
right. Starting to come down. You walk into the same restaurant where they used to be like,
used to sit you down.
Mr. Such and Such. You walking in and it's like, there's four people in front of you and it's like, those four people are in front of you.
Yeah, you got to wait now.
Like, humble yourself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
So for me, the cool thing about it is I never want to skip line anyway. So when it got to the point of where people weren't really, you know, knowing who I was, I was happy. I was more so happy about it than I was. I was relieved.
Oh, that's such a thing.
I was relieved, you know. And so for me, just having the platforms and having content, because content is king. Like, it's king, it's queen. And having the ability to create a platform where I can express the way I feel, I can address the things that are being said, I can, from my perspective, dispel what narratives have historically been. Those are things that I truly enjoy, but I also enjoy being able to impart that. Like, I don't really do football training with guys like Micah and Adafe. Right. They have that.
They have that football skill.
We talk here.
Come on.
Life. This is like don't be on your IG like throwing up the bird. Don't N-word this, N-word that, N-word that. I'm an N-word dude.
Right. But on social media, not gonna be that guy.
Yeah, I mean, like I'm from Pittsburgh. Like, if you know about being from the bird. and my family's from Homewood, like gangster crip, like we don't play. I'm an N-word dude. By nature, right?
It's part of the
But
vocabulary.
I'm gonna tell you right now, the evolution is, I've been watching Snowfall, right? Mm-hmm. I've been watching Snowfall. And it's so funny, I'll be watching the way these shows, they don't resonate to the younger generations the way they did for us, because we grew up in it.
In it, right.
So we'd be watching it, and it's just them watching a show where I'm watching it, like I'm relating to it, like I lived that, right? And I'd be sitting there, and I'd be telling my young bucks, like, you got to move the same way. Like, come up with a plan. What's your strategy? What are you selling? What's your product? Right? How do you create bandwidth? How do you perfect the process? How do you build the community that you're going to get your product to? Like, these are the things that we be talking about. You know, create your brand now. Create it now. Because some people try to shame you. Don't be T.O. Don't. What do you mean you're not Terrell? Like,
I get that all the time.
Mean?
Kids look at me. I can tell. I know.
Because an adult has told them not to be like you.
Right. So they look at me or they don't approach me in a certain, they want to be like, but it's funny you say that because I've heard that.
I've heard that. Right.
You know what I mean?
Be a football player.
Right. Like, what have I done?
You can't
focus
in.
You tell those kids to check my rap sheet.
No, you tell the dad to.
Right.
Yeah, check my rap sheet.
Right.
Then you would want to be like T.O. Because I ain't had no priors, no nothing.
And the thing about it is, even if you did, the amount of grace that would be involved with redemption, whatever it may be, right? But the idea of it is that people don't want to allow you to be anything more than what they make
they
you to
want
be.
You to be.
Right?
Because
so
do it.
I don't talk to them about being football players. I talk to them about being who you are first. Make sure you're leveraging this to build what you're going to build. Mm-hmm. My whole thing was, I heard y'all doing another interview where y'all was asking, you know, like, the whole, for me, like, what are you investing in? This, that, and the other. You know, I tell dudes, you making a play is your biggest investment.
Invest in yourself.
Like, you want to know what your cryptocurrency is?
Right.
You making a play.
Right.
Mm. Like, oh, what about real estate? Well, last I checked, if you are getting a return that is yielding you, I don't give a damn if you are league minimum.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you are yielding a return of a league minimum and you're protecting that investment and that revenue that you're generating, you don't need to be in a rush to invest in all this other stuff. Because we all learn it. It's like, I got money. Let me buy these houses. Let me do this project. Let me do this. Let me do that. And before you know it, you're investing in all these things and
you don't know about it.
Know
nothing about
it. You don't know nothing about it. And yet you're putting your hard-earned cash, you're putting your residuals
liquid
on your investment.
At risk now.
Mm-hmm.
Something that, like, you go out there and practice every day. You're working on your investment.
Right.
You go out there and play, you make plays, you're adding to your investment.
Mm-hmm.
What are you in such a rush for? So you could say, I'm not just a football player now. Mm-hmm. You weren't saying that when you was in high school and you was chasing the dream. Mm-hmm. You weren't saying that when you was in college and you was chasing the dream. So the mindset, we have been classically conditioned to fall in the trap of, we have to be in such a rush to try to be successful at something else when we make it. But playing is your
bread and butter right now.
Come on, man.
It's not an overnight.
Don't forget what you do while you
think
do
about
what you
think
do.
About how much y'all think through what y'all doing now versus when we played.
Right.
Yeah.
So get to a place like, I saved it all, and we're done. Like, now I want to decide, like, okay.
I can do anything.
I've been doing, I had the ability to coach, not ask for a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
I had the ability to learn how to coach. So now I've created the resume, like, we could say we coached at Long Beach Poly.
Yep.
That opens the door
for other opportunities
at any point in time. You say Long Beach Poly, that's like saying modern day. That's
absolutely.
Like saying, I mean, it's more historical than any of them, right?
Absolutely.
So if you sit there and you say, like, all right, I created a body of work here. I've created my own network, like Up On Game, by the way. Check it out. Subscribe wherever it is
that
you can
see. Up On Game. Hey, like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that. But
Up
go ahead.
On Game.
I create my own platforms now.
Yeah.
I'm in partnership. I'm not your employee. We're in this together.
Yeah. And your partner.
We're in this together. So in creating these platforms and creating these opportunities, like, for me, like, that's like now. Like, and I went into radio, like, man, I was making, it was no money, put it to you like this,
right?
And you're making no money. In fact, when I first started radio, I was doing it for free. And I was I was in D.C., and I was on Heaven something something A.M. So John P. Key is singing gospel music. And then it cut off, choom, right into my show. I don't know how to format a show. I don't know how to carry a show. I had an hour long right in between some gospel music and somebody preaching on the other side of it. I was like, okay, here we go. Washington football team. Da, 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 da. Don't even know what I'm saying, right?
Right.
But I had the ability because I invested in myself. My investments were me.
Yeah.
And because I didn't put myself in a position where I had to be in a rush to try to make money out of something, mm-hmm. I was able to go through the same exact process that I did to try to make it playing football.
It's the same.
I started
process.
Playing football at 8 years old. I didn't make money until I was 21.
Come on.
Wow.
It's the same process we try to tell
you. It's the same process.
Whatever you do in life.
So,
but again,
now
you have certain people in their ears, and
they're going to manipulate it,
right?
Yeah. And then, because the more you show the promise, the more people are going to come and start manipulating what it is. Like, right. Then they start telling you that this is the way to go, or this. And it's like I always say, I'm like the biggest one. Like, man, not everybody, not every agent, but I'm always like, man, doesn't it bug you out? How agents come the way that they come and they get guys to sign and then they sign. And it's like, do you know what the true meaning of agent is? Mm-hmm. When you hire, like, think about 007. When you hired 007, what did 007 as an agent go out and do? Whatever the mission was, they had to go find it.
Go out and find it, not sit back and
collect
a check.
If I'm the top receiver in the league, you don't have to find me anything.
Right. Yeah. Thank you. Nike calls.
You're not creating opportunities for me. Yeah. What am I paying you percentages of my money? What am I paying you residuals for on my money? We've been tricked for all and duped all these years. You know what I do? If I could do it all over again, all my kids, I tell them, my son doesn't have a choice. Like, my sons, they go, they don't have a choice. You get an agent. That is a lawyer.
Yes, and the lawyer.
I'm not
does
paying
the deal.
You no. That's I'm it. Not paying you no percentages.
I'm giving you money to do the.
I'm paying
pay
you.
To do the
I'll
deal,
give you a retainer.
The contract.
Retainer fee.
We'll pay for an hour because you got to get certified, just like an agent has to get certified. Mm-hmm. You know how to do the contracts, just like an agent does. You're just doing it at an hourly rate. I'm gonna put a cap on your hourly.
Absolutely.
So you're not going to come back to me and say this amount of hours and this is like no. Here's your cap.
Yeah.
You'll come back to me. Now, if I want to go further and we re-up, cool. And that's still going to be well below.
Listen to this, guys. Listen to this.
It's still going to be well below.
Putting y'all up on game. You know what I mean? I'm telling you.
So give us some information about Up on Game.
Yeah. So I created it with Fox, you know, iHeart. And I do a radio show. I do two radio shows. So I do 5 days a week with Brady Quinn and Jonas Knox called Two Pros and a Cup of Joe. Two Pros, a Cup of Joe.
Yeah.
It's an interesting show.
It's a funny
show. Yeah, you already know.
You already know.
All right, so I'm probably the Cup of Joe if you really get
it. Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
Anyways, right. So. And then I do Up on Game on weekends with TJ Hushmanzada and Plexico Burris. Mm-hmm. So that's Up on Game.
Okay.
Two Pros and a Cup of Joe.
Oh,
you
man.
Know what I mean?
Okay.
So I get the best of both worlds because for 5 days, I'm in that world. Mm-hmm. I'm in mainstream world. And on the weekend, I get to go into the locker room, mm-hmm. like what we're doing now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which Brady is a dope dude. Jonas is a dope dude. They're dope dudes. Like, I really enjoy doing the show with them, and it expands my range.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I find myself expanding my range during the show with those dudes. And, you know, but with Up on Game, I created the name based off of creating a platform where it's not always about you've gone broke. You've hit your spouse, you're going to jail, you wrecked your car, you can't come back to the team because you did this. It's all solution driven.
Yeah.
It's all solution driven. So it's like, okay, if you went broke, it's not, you shouldn't have spent your money. It's right. Now it's more or less like, okay, here's what happens, right?
And here's
you
how
pick yourself up.
Recover.
and you start the process all over again as to how you build success the first
time.
Because
you have the blueprint to do it.
The bottom line is people are going to have something to say about any and everything that you do.
Come on.
So if it's about you building it, if you can build it once, you always hear millionaires say, if you can make a million once, you can make it twice, you can make it over and over again. You just can't cheat the process.
There you go.
So there's the solution. So instead of us condemning the dude and jumping all on him and this, that, and the other.
Which is the reactive, you know what I mean?
We're giving more solution-based.
Right, now you're being proactive.
Correct. And to have a major platform, a nationally syndicated platform, where they support me being able to do it, things went so well in that build-out of Up On Game that we launched. I launched another station called Up On Game Presents. And that's where, which, by the way, I need to get y'all on, where I interview legends. My show is Conversations with a Legend. That's my show on Up On Game Presents. Mm-hmm. But then I have Tommy Vincent, Troy Vincent's wife, who does Stay a While. And that's more woman-centric, more woman-focused, but it's women from sports who are talking about different issues. I got e-gaming, the business of e-gaming. Mm-hmm. I got sneaker culture. Mm-hmm. So I'm not just down like
one lane.
Yeah, you do like that. Throw the web.
Like
throw the
I see y'all, like y'all come out, like people, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? You make sure that your sneakers is on point when you coming out. Right. You know what I mean? So it's like, how does sneaker culture play into sports culture? Mm-hmm. Anything that's connected to sports or anything,
all connected.
I do, I create lanes for it. And
while you're creating lanes, you're creating revenue.
Yeah. Oh, well, shit, that too.
I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah, you know,
that's part of it.
And if you're great at it, I mean, it's really good. Right. It's really good. Awesome, but you're building the brand, you're building your credibility, and nobody can take that away from you.
Right.
No one can take that away from you. That's why I'm so, like, I've been following the podcast ever since y'all started it. You know, I mess with y'all. Everyone, when y'all be posting, I'll mess with y'all on IG and stuff.
Cause I appreciate it.
Any of us who is willing to get out here, and you've always been a super articulate dude, and even the milkman dip, like all the stuff that you be doing, it's funny, it's creative, and it's relative, and it cancels the idea that all we can do is put on equipment and go out there and run around.
Come on.
You know what I mean? Right, so, and now in 2022, there are so many opportunities to monetize yourself this way if you just understand the right approach to doing it.
Yeah. And don't be scared in the process of doing it.
Don't be afraid of it. Because sometimes you gotta start. Ain't no popcorn to be popped.
Right. It ain't popping yet.
You know what I mean? It ain't popping yet.
Right. You gotta be in there.
But you still gotta be ready to get. I'ma still tell you, get your popcorn ready.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Get your popcorn ready and you ain't gotta get ready. So if you're already prophesying and you see that there's gonna be a bowl of popcorn there, it will eventually manifest itself and it's gonna be there. So I mean, so anybody that's in this industry, in this category, like for me, I get super excited when it's us.
Yeah.
And I don't just say us as in black us, I'm saying us as in players.
Players,
us.
Athletes.
Yeah. We should all have voices and we should all have an opportunity. And that's why I created Conversations with a Legend, so that you can have an opportunity to have that voice.
Awesome.
You know, and say what it is you got going on.
Conversation with a Legend, I'll be on that show. I don't know about you. I mean, I don't know. You possibly, but I'm going to be on that show.
If you made it to the league,
I'm a
legend.
You somebody's legend.
I'm a legend.
You somebody's legend.
I'm Betty's legend.
I'm Betty's son.
Yeah. That's who I am.
Okay, Betty's legend.
Yeah,
you somebody's legend.
I ain't
you're somebody's legend.
Hey, yeah. LA, we appreciate you coming on.
I appreciate y'all having me, man.
I gotta ask you, man. I got, because again, like I said, I mean, I'm intrigued. I am intrigued. When they start naming these people that I've been kind of seeing pop out of nowhere, not really out of nowhere, but I'm just, they're making names for themselves.
In the right way.
Right. And he's part of it. He's part of the fabric of who they are.
Architecture. It's architecture.
Yeah, you know? I mean, like I said, you've perfected of, you know, creating guys to be great.
Yeah.
And you said you don't get on the field, you don't do training. What is it about what you do? Is there a formula? Like you said, you, obviously you say you talk to guys. What is it that you feel like you've perfected to get these guys to buy in to the greatness, the legacy of what you've done? And I mean, you started out, like, I didn't know, the Sean Merriman.
Yeah.
And then the guy from Baltimore was
Adafe. Yeah.
And then Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, and then I'm he's wearing number 11. I saw it, but I didn't really, and I know now the league, they're allowing guys to wear different numbers
right now.
But it's starting to, like, it brought everything to light, you know, once you start saying that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, these networks, bro, like, they should know. And if they don't know,
now you know.
These guys, they do the work. Like you said, they gonna do the training.
You do the work.
Yeah, they do the training.
But to answer your question, yeah, I mean, I do feel as though, I think we all know what it is. It's just,
right.
It's just a matter of how we communicate it.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have the patience to communicate it? And most importantly, do you have the humility to communicate it? Because more often than not, the thing that I see go wrong with the greats that have ever done it is they don't know how to adjust their expectations because they're already great.
Mm-hmm.
So you're living in your greatness.
Yeah.
Okay. And there is a very fine line between trying to pull somebody who has the potential to be great into your greatness versus being able to communicate to somebody who isn't quite great yet, but has greatness in them, has the potential in them.
Yes. The good, there's some greatness in the good.
You gotta,
and the good
you
ones.
You can't look at somebody when as they are. You
when they say, when they be. Say, don't lower yourself to, right. to the da da da, there are some that you have to lower yourself in order to meet them where they are.
Mm-hmm.
In order to pull them up to where you're going.
Right.
If you know how to get up to the top of the mountain, you know.
Yeah, right. I can always go down and climb right with them.
So if I'm going to go down this mountain, I know how to get back up. Mm-hmm. If you're willing to follow me back up the mountain, right, then you don't have to have the pitfalls going up that this I side have. Of the mountain that I... Because it's like when Jesus prepared Moses to go get the people, he was prepared. Why was he gone so long? Because he was learning the terrain.
Right.
It's the same difference, right? We know the terrain.
He was carving the path.
We know the terrain.
For them to get.
Then he went back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Come on.
Right.
And then if he didn't know the terrain the way that he did, they're going to catch him, right? They don't make it to the Red Sea. They don't make it there in time enough. But the bottom line is, if you are humble enough to put that out there for them to consume and you truly care, like I've never made $1 off of any kid I've ever worked with.
Mm.
I don't do this to be
now you're
I'm your agent.
Yeah.
Now I'm your management, and the other. If anything, when I started to try to manage was to try to protect them from these people out there.
What?
Man. You know, I try to manage you to protect you from what these people are going to do to you.
Man.
You know what I mean? So
crazy. Yeah.
But that's the idea of it is. The perfected approach is really just I'm consistent. Mm-hmm. Whenever you need, I tell them first thing, I'm only a groupie to one person. I'm not a groupie to my daughters. I'm not a groupie to my sons. I'm not a groupie to y'all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a groupie to my wife. That's the only person I'm a groupie to.
Right, yeah, number one
I'll
fan.
I'll be your fan. I'll be your groupie. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been on the sideline of a pro game ever.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
I've never had to, but I get it.
I'm saying all the kids that all these years since Sean Merriman, all these kids that I have mentored, I've brought kids here from Africa. Like if I've adopted kids and brought them into my home from Nigeria. I've done, you name it, I've done it.
Right.
I've never been on sideline for a pro game. I've never asked for a jersey. Mm-hmm. I go to Penn State. I'll be on sideline at Penn State game, but I'm on sideline as LeVar Arrington at Penn State game. I'm not there on your merits.
Right,
I'm there because this is my house.
Yeah. Right.
So I've never even, like, I've never taken money from any kids. I never expected any money from any kids. I just build. Mm-hmm. And the whole idea of it is we know what our greatness is. It's just a matter of imparting it every single day. If they're willing to do it, then I give it to you.
Right.
If you're not open to it, then I'll give it to you when you want it.
There you go.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the idea of it.
I'm always awesome, here. Like
that's the idea of it. It's never been an issue for me.
Like I said, with me and what I've done, like you said, I wasn't great. You know what I mean? I was one of those kids that were good, that probably had greatness in them.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it, but just like you,
Somebody had to see it.
And I've said it so many times. So many people that saw it in me before mm-hmm. I even saw it.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, guys ask me all the time, I'm like, yo, let me tell my son, I'm here. You call me whenever. Mm-hmm. I'm probably the best resource my son can have as far as being a receiver.
You think?
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm like, yo, don't be so prideful. You know, I'm here. Yeah. This is what I'm here for. I've been there, done that.
Yeah.
I played at every level.
Be humble enough to
and
receive it.
Exactly.
You got to be humble enough. You got to be humble enough to give it. They got to be humble enough to receive it. When they give it to
you got
to
be receptive.
Then you
got
to be able to take what they're giving to you, and you got to be able to receive it, and you got to be able to come back and give it back to them.
Yeah,
and it's a transactional relationship.
Yeah.
It's always transactional,
awesome.
You know? And that's how I live that way, man.
Man,
I lit
awesome,
that way.
Man.
That was good.
Man, we got
Pastor Arrington up in this piece today. Hey, my man was preaching. We appreciate it, though,
you
brother.
You ain't lying, boy.
Hey, I love it.
You got to put them up on it. Anytime you get it, each one teach you one, man. You got to put them up on it.
So. Where can everybody find you on social media, too?
I'm King of the Mammals on IG. King of the Mammals. I told you, I used to go down on all. When there's a full moon, if you ever think about me, just know I'm out back somewhere. I live on a mountain now.
Ten
out,
toes down.
Hey, bro, and I'm howling at that full moon. Just know that. I'm howling at the full moon. So you can find me at King of the Mammals on IG, and then everywhere else is LeVar. Like on Twitter, it's LeVar. But you don't have to look at me on Twitter because I don't like you adding me on Twitter because most of y'all are hateful people on Twitter.
Come on.
So and I make time, just so y'all know.
we got time today.
I make time. I don't think I got time today. You know what I mean? So
no doubt.
Bottom line is, you know, don't at me at Twitter. But I am LeVar Arrington on Twitter.
There it is. We appreciate you, brother.
And I can't let you go, man, to appreciate, you know, to say and give you the appreciation. Because I said, what, 4 years ago, I mean, I saw you on the show with Marcellus and TJ.
Yeah.
And, you know, you guys were giving your take on, you know, what was going on, what's transpiring with me in the Hall of Fame. So I appreciate that.
Man,
you know?
Every time.
So
I was in that battle for years. Like, soon as you retired, it's like he's on the clock. And everybody, you know, everybody has something to say. And this is the reason why and this and that. And it's like, for me, it's like, okay, if your justification is that, then it's not sound. It's not logical. It's not sensible. Like, he was disruptive. Please. You know how many people have said that about other people? He was a diva. Please. You know how many quarterbacks in this league are divas more than anybody else?
Right.
Like, the bottom line is, no matter what you can come up with as an excuse to say that, Terrell Owens, it shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. It wasn't correct.
Yeah,
anytime it's not correct, if I got a voice, I'm a speak on it. But that was an easy one. That's not hard to jump on that one. Easy one. But we got to get Fred in now.
Fred Taylor.
I have supported T.O. to get him in.
Man.
We got to get Fred Taylor.
Yeah, man, they need to quit.
And then the conversation, really, I'm going to be honest with y'all now. The conversation has to be made about Ocho Chad Cinco, and I'm going to tell you why. Because just because you may not have some of this to get into the Hall of Fame, it is called the Hall of what?
Fame.
Keep that in mind now. It is called the Hall of Fame.
There it is.
Tell me who's as famous as Mr. Chad Ocho Cinco and has branded themselves that way.
There it is.
Shouts
LA,
out to the
LeVar Arrington on Get Your Popcorn Ready podcast.
Yeah. LA.
LA and LA. Yeah.